Hello world, welcome to the very first Arseblog Arsecast. It's like a podcast except with arses. Brought to you in association with classicfootballshirts.co.uk, who, because it's the very first Arsecast, have given me a brilliant Arsenal shirt to give away. I'll give you more details of how to enter that competition later in the show. So what's an Arsecast, you might ask? Well, you know the way the blog is just me writing some shit and you come along and read the shit and everybody likes the shit? Well, an Arsecast is just me talking shit instead. You can subscribe to the Arsecast through iTunes if you have that on your computer. So every time there's a new one, it automatically downloads into your iTunes music library. Also, you can subscribe through your favorite RSS reader. And if all that sounds far too technical for you, then that means it probably is. You can just download it directly from the website every time there's a new one. So, what are we going to do? At the moment, everything's a little bit up in the air because these things evolve and take a bit of time to find their feet. But for the moment, I'll give you an idea of some of the things that are going to happen. One is a blog chat, which is going to be me phoning up another Arsenal blogger, talking about Arsenal, about the last game we had, about the game we've got coming up, about any particular issues that might be affecting the team or just football in general. Another thing we'll do is take your comments and emails and try and answer some of those questions. So you can always email arsecast@arseblog.com during the week, and then hopefully I'll have time to go over some of the emails in the show. Another thing I want to do is maybe get some interviews with some players, if the club will allow that, or if any of the players will talk to me, or maybe some ex-players or people involved in the club in some way, or just something that might be a little bit interesting in terms of Arsenal. And the final thing for the moment that we have lined up is the Arsenal Bet of the Week, brought to you in association with BlueSquare.com. They'll give me a bet of the week to tell to you. You just go to BlueSquare.com and make the bet, and naturally you're going to win lots and lots of money. And then what you can do is donate some of that money to me because, I really need it. No, really, I do. Anyway, okay, let's get on with the first ever blog chat. This week, I called up Good Player from goodplayer.com. I rang him on Wednesday morning, which is why there are references to last night when we were talking about the CSKA Moscow game. We spoke about the Arsenal performance, the reaction to the performance by some of the websites and by some of the people that comment on the websites. We spoke about Robin van Persie and his role within the Arsenal team. We also had a chat about video evidence or whether video replay should be used in the light of Thierry Henry's goal being disallowed. Also, we had a look at the upcoming Reading game. And the last thing we spoke about was Jose Mourinho's comments about the Peter Cech incident and what we both thought of Peter Cech's injury and the challenge by the Reading player last week. So without further ado, here is the very first blog chat with Good Player. So right now I'm talking to Good Player from goodplayer.com. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Not too bad. Would have been better for a decent result last night.
Absolutely. That's the first thing we're going to talk about then, yesterday's game. What did you make of the performance, first of all?
The performance wasn't great, but equally it wasn't as bad as some of the listless performances we've seen in Europe away from home over the years. You looked at the players that came on. You looked at you looked at some of the players that came on. You looked at the goal we made of it in the final 25 minutes or so. And we actually had a serious chance of equalising, which often hasn't been the case. And we probably should have equalised from Omri's goal. So disappointing in a sense. But Spartak Moscow were a very good side. Was it Spartak? Oh shit! It wasn't Spartak.
No, it wasn't. It was CSKA.
No, sorry. CSKA Moscow were a very good side. And probably the best side that we've faced for quite a while, certainly this season.
Yeah.
So disappointed, but not disheartened.
Okay. I mean, one of the things that I noticed, particularly in the first... I didn't think the free kick was a free kick at all, that they got their goal from, because I thought the referee played advantage, and then, you know, after their advantage came to nothing, he allowed them the chance from the free kick, but that's by
well,
the way,
I think that you're right in the sense that he played advantage, and so that should have been it. I think if he'd blown up in the first place for a foul on Giroud, it probably was, in my opinion, it was a foul. But certainly, you know, once he played advantage, the whole point is he had a shot and it didn't go in. Such is life. You know, had the shot gone through and Jens Lehmann just saved it, would he then have pulled it back? I mean, it seems slightly absurd to me.
Yeah. But
carry on, yeah.
And the goal, obviously, Henry's goal, that was ruled out. Clear goal.
you know, the problem is that with new the technology that is nowadays, we can see everything that happens, and we expect referees to be good, to be as good as the cameras, but they can't possibly be, and it's creating a farcical situation at the moment. But UEFA and FIFA seem to have no interest in doing anything about it, so I guess it's just going to carry on happening.
Based on that, then, would you be in favour of video replays for incidents like that?
Well, I think they're essential, because it's just it's making a farce of the game at the moment. We're asking referees to do a job, we're expecting them to do a job which human beings aren't capable of doing. You know, the reason we get annoyed at referees is not because they're all really rubbish at refereeing. They're probably as good as anyone. They're probably the best that there are. But it's just human beings are not capable of seeing everything that we now see on the cameras. And it's just making a mockery of what's happening. And it will happen in time. It's just when it will happen. And knowing FIFA and UEFA, it probably won't be until it's far too late, you know. But what can you do?
Yeah, not until they can get it sponsored by somebody else. The other side of that argument, though, is that, you know, human error is part of the game. As much as a goalkeeper letting a ball go between his legs, a referee missing a decision, or a linesman, you know, flagging for a wrong decision, has always been part of the game. It's just maybe now that we see it more often, we have more opportunity to see where they've gone wrong.
Well, there is an argument to say that, but I think in tennis there's no debate now that line calls, etc., using technology are a good thing. I mean, no one argues with that, basically.
Sure.
So why not for football? You know, it's all very well saying human error is part of it, but that's just the kind of that's an old-fashioned view, I think, from when we didn't have the technology. When at the moment football's credibility is being ruined by the fact that we can all see these decisions are wrong, and we're still letting them stand, and we're still sticking our heads in the sand, and UEFA refuse to let the referees do anything retrospectively, even after the game, and wipe out yellow cards, wipe out red cards, and even give yellow and red cards for things that they've missed.
Yeah.
I just think it's making a mockery of football, and it's just not helping the game at all.
Okay, that's an interesting one. That's something we'll maybe come back to on another Arsecast. Second thing I wanted to touch on was the reaction to last night's game. Now, the team has just won 6 in a row, including an away game at Old Trafford, which, you know, has effectively turned things around in terms of people's belief and in the squad, and possibly, you know, within the squad itself. Now, I'm going to give 3 quotes from comments left. 2 of them were on your site. One of them is on my site. Gilberto is rubbish. Henri is killing the team. They were from your site. Van Persie is a cunt. That's from my site, surprisingly enough. And one blog that I read this morning labelled the performance in Moscow a disgrace.
Well, the comment about the performance being a disgrace is just utter rubbish. The performance at Liverpool away last season was a disgrace. Last night it wasn't a disgrace. We were up against a good team. We had some good passages of play. It just, I think anyone can see it wasn't a disgrace. Going on to the individual players, more interestingly, Gilberto, I totally disagree. He wasn't rubbish, but at the same time, when things don't seem to be going right for us, it's often the case that Gilberto will kind of be a yardstick of that, and he'll be the first guy for who things start going wrong. It'll be little things. It'll be just not thinking, really. I mean, there was a moment against Watford on Saturday when they actually had their best chance, which was volleyed over, and it was a corner that came in or a throw-in, and Gilberto's header was just awful, and it came out, and it really put us in the mud, if you like, in a. And so I think sometimes Gilberto is kind of stands out more than anyone else. If the team's not doing well, he won't be doing well. As far as Van Persie goes, Van Persie's a difficult one. He's a fantastically talented player. He scores some great goals. He's a very useful player. We need him. He can do stuff that other players can't do. How to integrate him is a harder question. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a very difficult one. Austin hasn't yet found a situation to it. We'll have to see. But certainly he knows that Van Persie's a vital asset, and to get rid of him would be a very foolish thing to do. If nothing else, he's different. He's not like Fleb, Rizicki, Fabregas. They're all fantastic players, but they're carved in the mould of a classic Wenger player. They're his foot soldiers, if you like. Van Persie's a bit different. You know, he doesn't always pass the ball. He sometimes goes for a spectacular, and you do actually need that sometimes. As far as Omri goes, it's obvious he's not wrecking the team, but I do think there is a slight issue there, and that, how do you put it, he's got a certain ego on him. You only need to see when his goal was ruled out, the kind of facial reactions that you saw were those of of a guy who knows that he's a big fish, basically. And I do think that sometimes his reactions to Van Persie are slightly overdone, and it's not so much trying to provide a solution as actually, you know, it's all very well thumping the ground, etc., and getting frustrated, but there needs to be something. I'd like to see a bit more productive from Henry. I'm sure that goes on a training pitch.
Yeah.
Certainly, I felt that with Van Persie in the first half last night, when he had the chance to take it, to pass it to either Toure or Henry for the goal, he probably should have. He went and tried to take it around the keeper. If you actually look, Toure and Henry weren't that well placed. Certainly, Henry wasn't at all. So it's a tough one, but I do think people have a tendency to completely overreact, and you do get some stupid comments on the blogs.
Yeah, I mean, touching on Van Persie, because he's someone I want to talk about, because there's a lot of talk about him today on my blog and all the other blogs. What I thought yesterday was that the fact that he has been accused of being a selfish player, and that's true at times. But I think the fact that you know, he's tried to do something about that may have had an influence on the two chances that he had yesterday, particularly the one where he was running straight at the defender and chose to pass. Possibly in the past he would have used Gallas as a decoy and gone for goal himself. And the second chance, when he could have passed Henry or to Toure, I think the first thing he thought of at that point was to pass, and then he decided to go past the keeper, at which point, you know, he'd taken too much time.
You're completely right on that. I think he did look to pass, and I think it was because he knew that they'd want him to pass, and I think had he actually done what would have come instinctively to him, he might have just bamboozled the keeper, a bit like he bamboozled the Villa defence in the 5-0 victory last season.
Exactly.
and just done it himself instinctively without thinking. So I think perhaps you're right, that the fact that he did try and pass actually almost made it more difficult than it was.
Mm. Personally, I think he just needs a run of games in the one position, because it's difficult to play a guy who you play him as a striker against Charlton, he scores two fantastic goals, and the next game you're playing him sort of on the left-hand side of what Arsene likes to call a 4-3-3, but it effectively is a 4-5-1, which to me is a pretty negative formation. So I don't know. Maybe just give him a run of games up front and see how he comes in. But people are saying he can't play with Henri, but he played with Henri at Charlton and scored twice. So
I think it's a very difficult one, because I think there are games when you need Adebayor up there, and there's not really space in the team for Van Persie, Adebayor, and Henri. Clearly, you're going to play Henri. So who do you pick? And it's a kind of picking and choosing thing. It goes back quite a long way, in a way that Wenger hasn't. Since Bergkamp kind of started to wane maybe 4 years ago or so, Wenger hasn't really ever resolved who his first choice strike force are, and we still don't know that. There have been so many players who have come and gone and have been potential first partners for Omri, and no one's stuck. And we were so lucky in a way to have Bergkamp.
Mm.
If you look through the 10 years that Bergkamp was there, he has fantastic partnerships with Ian Wright, Nicolas Anelka, and Thierry Henry. And that tells you more about Bergkamp than you know, probably any one-off spectacular goal can. So it's a challenge that Wenger's trying to face up to. But at the moment, I'm not sure if he has an answer for creating that ideal partnership.
No, maybe the way the modern game has gone, the fact, you know, you don't just have one partnership. You've got to try and get a blend of strikers that can play together, so he can put Van Persie and Adebayor together, or Van Persie and Henri and Adebayor, and then, of course, we have to throw Walcott into the mix at some point as well. So
I think that's quite right. And if you actually look at the likes of Liverpool, Chelsea, Manchester United, their front pairings are not as settled as we used to think. You know, we used to talk about the great partnerships, Rice and Henry, Shearer and Sheringham, etc. Shearer and Ferdinand, Cole and York, and you don't really tend to have that so much anymore. It's a lot more flexible, and so perhaps. The age of the partnership, the striking partnership, has passed, and it's going to be far more a case of blending, as you say, you know, three, four forwards, and getting them all working together.
Yeah, I reckon so. Okay, the final thing I want to talk about then is the game against Reading on Sunday. I've been pretty impressed by them since they came up. They work very, very hard. They've got some good players on the side, but what's impressed me most is sort of the team ethic that they have, that they really work together, and they were very unlucky, I thought, against Chelsea. They were unlucky against United as well, was it?
Yeah, I missed the Chelsea game. I've only seen I've only seen brief highlights of it, obviously, including the controversial instance. I saw some of the United game, and they were very impressive. And you know, there's no doubt now they'll be massively up for us. They'll know that we've lost in midweek. They've got obviously Stephen Sidwell, the captain, in the middle. He'll be mightily up for it. You know, he'll really want to impress against us, seeing as I think he still hankers one day to come back to the club and kind of prove himself as the one that actually, you know, got it. The one at ex-Arsenal who got his head down, really worked hard and actually eventually made the grade. So they're going to make it very, very tough for us. And again, it's a case of just digging in, doing what we do, and, you know, trying to weather the storm. I think Reading will be anxious. They'll be stunned slightly by what happened to Cech and Cucini last week. So it'll be interesting to see their approach, whether they go for health or leather, whether they're a bit tentative. I don't know. In a way, this game reminds me slightly of when we went to Wigan last year. They were doing very well, Wigan, at the time. And we knew it was going to be a very, very tough game. We came through that one reasonably well, although we did defend pretty appallingly for two goals, I seem to remember. So it's going to be quite an interesting game, but again, the vital thing is at this stage, it's just about building up the points so that come February, you know, we're in a position where we can challenge. And it reminds me a bit of the 97-98 season in a way. He's, you know, for the first, you know, five months of that season or so, he was really bedding the team in. And we managed to notch up enough points that we're in a position come February to challenge. And I think that's the case now, really.
Interesting observation, that, actually. Going back to...
I've got one question for you. What do you think about the Cech and Cucini thing and Jose Mourinho off at Reading about that?
I was just going to ask you about that. What I thought about the Cucini incident, well, I suppose it's been overshadowed. I haven't seen it enough. To me, it looked like the guy was going for the ball for Cucini, and I think, you know, the way he fell, he could have fallen and got back up no problem, just as it was. You know, whatever way he managed to land on his back, it knocked him out. With regards to Cech one, I thought the Reading guy could easily have got out of the way. He could have hurdled the keeper, he could have moved to the side. There was no reason for him to keep going and to put his knee in the area that he did, knowing that, you know, the keeper was going to come sliding towards him. I don't think for one second that he meant to hurt him in the way that he did, but I think you know, it was careless play, it was dangerous play, and I have some sympathy for Mourinho, you know, when he complains about it. It's more difficult to have sympathy for him when you see the story in the papers where he's complaining it took, you know, 30 minutes for the ambulance to arrive, and the ambulance service and the Reading Football Club are saying no, it was 7 minutes. He was in hospital within sort of 25 minutes. So I think that's the nature of Mourinho, is that while he does garner some sympathy for the challenge on Cech, he sort of undoes it all by exaggerating or you know, blatantly lying about other parts of it. But I thought it was a dangerous challenge, and if the FA don't do something about Hunt, I'd be surprised. I don't know, what did you
make? I agree. I mean, I think it was clearly he didn't want to fracture his skull, but at the same time, it was no coincidence that this happened in the first minute of a Reading v Chelsea, which is always going to be a very, very highly charged game, given their close their geographical proximity to each other. And it was clear that Reading had been told to get in among them, you know, stick it up them, you know, let them know you're there, etc., etc., which is a great English thing. You know, I think Jens had a very good point in the papers yesterday when he said, on Tuesday, sorry, when he said that, you know, there's all these TV pundits sitting there and they're basically stupid because they talk about letting them have it and all of this rubbish. And the inevitable result is that occasionally, not all the time, but occasionally you will get injuries like this. Now, I'm not saying take aggression out of the game, because that's a very good thing, but I think if you look at some of the... It's a bit like the Diaby injury that we got from playing Bolton, you know.
Sunderland.
This is the flip side of that kind of great English, you know, kind of spirit, etc. And, you know, I think we should acknowledge that rather than sitting there blindly and saying Hunt didn't mean anything whatsoever. The one problem is that Jose Mourinho, of all the people in the world, is probably the last person that is needed to fight this particular battle, because he's quite clearly, with his bizarre kind of accounts of getting to the ambulances, he's actually ruining a very good point he had, and he's making himself look stupid, and he's actually demolishing the whole argument that says that this is a problem, and Reading have come out of it with the moral high ground. I don't know if anyone heard their spokesman on Tuesday night on the radio, you know, very well spoken, just said, well, actually, it took 5 minutes. So now I think Reading are going to come out with a moral high ground, which is fair. You know, they didn't do anything terrible, but Chelsea are going to come out looking very stupid, when in fact we should have been having a proper debate about this and saying, well, you know, he left his foot in and, you know, someone's got hurt, and what's the future in terms of this kind of stuff? But it's all got ruined by Mourinho's great big ego, unfortunately.
Well, exactly, that's the thing. I mean, he made a great point in the paper, you know, in one paragraph, saying the FA, you know, they gave him a fine or took him to task for making the shush gesture at Liverpool fans, and they bring in Joey Barton for flashing his arse for like 2 seconds. But then when there's something like this, when there's a very obvious dangerous play, they seem reluctant to act on it, and it's something that's bothered me for a long time. And you take the Diaby incident, for example. That was an incident that could have been reviewed, should have been reviewed, despite the fact that the referee only gave a yellow card. And again, it was Dermot Gallagher, wasn't it, who was the referee on that day. And while they seem to be very keen to act on things like running over to your fans or taking your shirt off or fleshing your arse for a second, when it comes to actual violent play that can hurt a player and damage a player, they seem more or less spineless.
I agree entirely. I remember when Patrick Vieira got demonised for spitting at Neil Ruddock, which wasn't a particularly nice thing to do, but ultimately at the end of the day, all it required is Neil Ruddock to take his shirt and take a bit of tissue and wipe it away. And yet you get terrible challenges, really, really appalling challenges, which they just systematically do nothing about. And if you remember how long it took, how much pressure it took before they finally punished Ruud van Nistelrooy after that horrific challenge against Lauren during the defeat at Old Trafford in, I think it was October 2004, yeah. And actually getting a 3-game ban for him just seemed to take an eternity, and it was almost a great surprise when he got it. Whereas, you know, there is a complete, unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be run by people who are particularly bright, and there just seems to be this determination to just focus on stuff like dropping your shorts, etc., focus on stuff like telling the crowd to be quiet, and a complete inability to actually deal with the things that matter.
Yeah, and I think just to go back to that point, the Ruud van Nistelrooy challenge was on our everybody's favourite cunt, little Ashley, not Lauren. So,
yes, it was. It was on Ashley Cole, so it was in the left-up position. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So nowadays we wouldn't complain about that sort of tackle on Ashley. But
no, I mean he'd be completely welcome to do that to Ashley Cole now.
Okay. Well, I think we'll leave it there for today. We've got plenty. Excellent. Been interesting. Thanks a million for taking the time to talk.
Okay.
And we'll talk to you again in one of the upcoming Arscasts very soon.
So there you go, the first ever Arsenal blog chat with Good Player from goodplayer.com. Next week it'll be a different Arsenal blogger, and we'll be talking about different things, obviously, because it would be quite boring if we spoke about the exact same thing week in, week out. I did mention to you that I wanted to get hold of some former players for interviews to talk about Arsenal, and maybe to talk about what was going on in the football world in general. And I was trying to get hold of John Devine this week, who played for Arsenal in the 70s and early 80s. He was here in Dublin. He was doing some work for Shelburne FC. I think he was doing some coaching of youth teams there. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to get hold of him. What I wanted to talk to him about was, with the Reading game coming up, should we be worried about our goalkeepers, considering Reading managed to take out two of Chelsea's last week? The Peter Cech incident is something that's been in the headlines a lot this week, and despite the fact he plays for them, I wish him well, because fractured skulls really aren't very much fun to anyone. I wasn't able to get John Devine, but amazingly enough, I managed to get hold of somebody even better for comment on the Peter Cech incident and what he would do if something like that happened to him. Here's Arsene Wenger Hawkins.
If a player did to me what Stephen Hunt did to Peter Cech, then he would suffer the consequences, let me tell you. I would get up, even if my skull was fractured, and I would boot him right in the foot anus. Then I would climb up on the top of my goalpost and splash him like a professional wrestler. I would fuck that bitch up righteously. Then I would pick the cunt up by the throat, take a small run, then drop kick the fucker right out of the stadium. At that point I would then allow the medics to treat me and perform surgery on my brain if necessary. You have to show the cunts who's boss. Oh yes.
Thank you for that, Arsene. And in the absence of any real guests or having anyone that might come and talk to me, he might pop up again next week. Now, the Arscast is brought to you every week in association with classicfootballshirts.co.uk. And what they do is they sell authentic football shirts, not the replicas. They're actually the real deal, genuine football shirts from years gone by. They have a great selection of Arsenal stuff. Obviously, the rarer something is, the higher the price, but they've got some very, very cool stuff on the website. So do have a browse around there, classicfootballshirts.co.uk. Because they're such nice people, they've given us a shirt to give away as a competition. It's the first Arscast, so we have a shirt to give away as a special prize. What we have is a 92-94 Adidas home shirt, as worn in the 93 Cup double season and also in the 94 Cup Winners' Cup final. To win the shirt, all you need to do is email me the answer to this question. I want to know, who scored the winning goal in the replay of the 93 FA Cup final, and who scored the winning goal in the 1994 Cup Winners' Cup final? Pretty easy. All you have to do is email arscast@arsblog.com. That's arscast@arsblog.com. And next week, I will announce the winner of the shirt on the Arscast. And that, again, is thanks to classicfootballshirts.co.uk. Okay, so the next bit of the show is where I take a look at some of the emails that you've sent in. If you want to comment on what we've talked about this week, or if you want to ask anything in the weeks ahead, it's arscast@arsblog.com. There'll be a bit of clicking here as I go around the emails. Firstly, we have Mark, who's just emailed to say that the Ashley Cole book has sold a whopping 3,500 copies since its release. Oh dear. I just think it's a bit of a travesty that the literary world has overlooked such a wonderful piece of writing. I think in the future when children are studying Shakespeare and Dickens and Ashley Cole, we'll wonder how we ever managed to overlook such a masterpiece. It really is a shame. Rob from America wants to know, just curious about what London or Euro Gooners think of their American counterparts. He says, genuine American Gooners, not the ones who bought a Thierry Henry t-shirt in Times Square. I don't know what that last bit means, but I think Arsenal fans are fantastic from all over the world. You don't have to be born and living 5 minutes from Ashburton Grove to be a real Arsenal fan. I think it's fantastic, and people spend lots of money following the team from all over the place, whether that's via the internet or whether they get over and back to London during the year. I don't think you can discriminate, really. Paul asks, how do you actually pronounce Rosicky? He says the TV commentators have gone for Rosicky. Most Gooners seem to say Rosicky, although I've heard it should be, in fact, Rosicky, due to the accent on the Y as seen on his Czech Republic shirt. Do any of your readers know? How will you pronounce it on the Arscast? Rosicky, Rosicky, Rosicky. I don't know, I'm confused. Can someone clear that up for us? You can leave a comment on today's Arses if you want. He says it's another example of the syndrome of our Belarusian midfielder. You actually pronounce his name Alexander Leb. But it's much more difficult to do it that way. Art asks, do you have long blonde hair? No, I don't, Art, but thanks very much for the question. And another Paul wants to know, who is my favourite Arsenal player of all time? And the answer is Liam Brady, of course. Now, before we go to the next and final part of the show, I just want to make a quick phone call.
Good afternoon, Adolfi Stadium.
Hello, is that Reading Football Club?
It is.
Yeah, hi, I'm just calling on behalf of Jens Lehmann. I'm just wondering, should he bring a crash helmet to the game on Sunday?
Reading Football Club.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I'm calling on behalf of Jens Lehmann. I'm just wondering if he should bring a crash helmet for the game on Sunday?
That's very good. Thank you very much.
Well, I thought it needed to be asked, in fairness. Okay, on to the final part of our show, which is the Bet of the Week, brought to you in association with bluesquare.com. That's www.bluesq.com. Simon Wolf from Blue Square commented,
The Gunners were robbed of a draw in Moscow thanks to a late disallowed goal when Thierry Henry was wrongly adjudged to have handled the ball. If you fancy Thierry to suffer the same fate at the Majeski Stadium on Sunday, he can be backed at 10-1 to score another disallowed goal. Thierry can also be backed at 7-2 to score the first goal of the game, but if he scores in the first 15 minutes, we'll double the odds, paying out at 7-1. So what are you waiting for? Get on to www.bluesq.com, place your bets, and feel free to donate as much of the winnings to me as you see fit. Also, next week, on the blog itself, make sure you log on Monday, because we'll have another competition in association with bluesquare.com where you can win 2 tickets to the Everton game the following Saturday. So it's a cool competition, so make sure you tune in for that. And that's the very first Ars Blog Arscast in association with classicfootballshirts.co.uk. I hope you enjoyed it. Any feedback or suggestions for future Arscasts will be more than welcome to arscast@arsblog.com. That's arscast@arsblog.com. I'll read all the emails, even the ones calling me a cunt, and I'm sure there'll be a few of those. Make sure you tune in next week, because we'll have another blog chat with a different Arsenal blogger. We'll have the winner of the classicfootballshirts.co.uk competition, another bet of the week thanks to bluesquare.com, and some other crap which might be entertaining or not. Anyway, hope you enjoyed it. See you next week.